Welcome to Stories Podcast. We're going back to our weekly schedule, but we could use your support. To make it easy for families, we have two ways to give back to the show. The first is by going to patreon.com/stories. You can also follow the link on storiespodcast.com and donating directly. This gets you exclusive extras, like bonus episodes, as we hit donation thresholds. The other way to help is by going to our partner site, goplaypretend.com. You can also follow the shop link on storiespodcast.com. On Go Play Pretend, you will find all the coolest kids' clothes and toys from Amazon to check out. But here's the secret. Amazon pays us no matter what you buy. So you can go to goplaypretend.com, click any of the product links, and then do your regular shopping. There's no extra charge to you. Amazon just donates a portion to the show. It's a win-win. Thanks again!
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, there's so many worlds you can explore.
Like Hyrule, where I can fight enemies and save the kingdom with Link.
That sounds adventurous.
Or my very own island in Animal Crossing New Horizons, where I can fish whenever I want.
Whoa, look at the size of that thing. You can find even more worlds to explore on the Nintendo Switch system. Games rated E to E10+. Games and systems sold separately.
Now, here's the episode. It was a bright spring day at Feathersburg Duck Pond, and Dolores Duck, a lovely young bird, was very excited. Several weeks ago, Dolores had painstakingly crafted a nest out of twigs and leaves and feathers, and then proceeded to lay 4 eggs into it. Today, she was sitting atop them, hoping that they would hatch.
"Ooh, today's the day, I think," said Tilda Loon, a neighborhood busybody.
"Yes," said her sister Tally, Tilda's perpetual sidekick.
"I suspect we'll be seeing a few fluffy ducklings waddling around before the sun sets."
"I hope so," said Dolores in response.
Tilda and Tally had been checking in regularly while Dolores had been sitting on her eggs and keeping them warm, and while she appreciated their interest, Dolores sometimes felt that they were being kind of nosy. But today, Dolores was in a very good mood, so she was happy to engage with Tilda and Tally.
"I've been sitting here for weeks and weeks, and I'm ready to meet my baby ducklings."
And just as Dolores made that exclamation, she felt movement beneath her.
"They're hatching," she cried joyously, and Tilda and Tally tittered with excitement.
Dolores stood up and moved from her perch so the babies would have room to emerge from their shells. After a few moments, 3 fluffy yellow ducklings had successfully managed to break through their eggs.
"Oh, they're beautiful," cried Tally.
"They are," said Dolores, with proud mama tears in her eyes. "I will name this one Jerome, this one Alfie, and this one Roberta."
And they watched the 3 ducklings stumble around on the pond's bank, playing with each other and exploring their new surroundings. After a few moments, Tilda said,
"It's too bad about that other egg. It must have been a bad one."
There was still 1 egg left in the nest that had not yet been pecked through. This egg had always been slightly larger than the others, and it had a few spots, too. But Dolores had never thought anything of it. Everybody's different, after all. Now that Tilda was suggesting that this egg was bad simply because it hadn't hatched yet, Dolores was annoyed.
"None of my eggs are bad," exclaimed Dolores. "See," she said, gesturing to 3 beautiful ducklings scampering along the edge of the pond. "Maybe this one just needs more time." And she climbed back up under her nest.
"If you say so," said Tally, "but I won't hold my breath."
Dolores scowled. Tilda and Tally could be such negative Nancys. She was sure that her last egg, large and spotted though it was, would hatch soon, and out would tumble another duckling to join the first 3. And sure enough, a few moments later, Dolores again felt movement beneath her. Out she popped again, and she and Tilda and Tally and Jerome and Alfie and Roberta too all watched that last spotted egg crack open. Out of it tumbled another duckling. But this one looked different. He was taller than his siblings and gray instead of golden. He stumbled out of the nest and began to waddle and explore like the other ducklings had done before him.
"I told you so," Dolores exclaimed proudly with a big smile on her face.
"He's quite odd-looking," said Tilda.
"So tall and gray," said Tally.
"I think he's beautiful," said Dolores. "The world would be boring if everyone looked the same. I will call him Arthur."
Tilda and Tally exchanged glances.
They still thought this youngest duckling was quite unattractive, but they could tell Dolores wasn't going to appreciate their comments, so they decided to move along. They needed to check in on other neighbors and wanted to gossip about this ugly duckling without his mother listening in. They bid Dolores and the new ducklings, even the ugly one, farewell and set off. Dolores looked at her new brood of ducklings, Jerome, Alfie, Roberta, and Arthur, and smiled with joy. They were all beautiful, and she was excited to begin raising her family. Time passed, and Arthur and his brothers and sister got bigger. Jerome and Alfie and Roberta seemingly became fluffier and more golden as the days passed, and Arthur just got taller and grayer. Most of the time, Dolores' ducklings got along, playing hopscotch and singing songs together, but all brothers and sisters fight sometimes. One particular rainy day, everyone was in a bad mood. Dolores had promised to take all of them out for mini golf that afternoon, but the rain had ruined it, and now they had to stay home.
"I hate the rain," grumbled Alfie as he sat and stared out the window at the gloomy weather.
"Yeah," echoed Roberta, pouting with her brother. "Hey, the sky looks just like you, Arthur."
Jerome and Alfie cackled meanly at Roberta's joke.
"She's right, Arthur," Jerome contributed. "You're just as gray and stormy as the clouds outside. Maybe it's your fault our day is ruined."
Yeah, Arthur, it must be your fault,"
said Alfie, and Roberta and Jerome began laughing again. Arthur was crestfallen. He couldn't help what color he was, and he was just as upset about the rain as they were. Mini golf was his favorite. He and his silvery feathers hadn't made the weather like this, and Arthur was upset that his siblings had joked that he had. Arthur's feelings were hurt. He had always been aware that he looked different than his family. He could hear Tilda and Tally Loon, the busybodies of Feathersburg Duck Pond, titter to each other when he and his brothers and sisters walked by, but they always stopped when his mother glared at them. Once, another duckling he'd been playing with outside at the pond asked him if he was sick, and that was why he was such an ugly color. Those words had stung. But on that day, Jerome and Alfie and Roberta had leapt to his defense, and they told that little duckling to keep his mouth shut and to never call their brother ugly again. Quietly, while his siblings were still laughing, Arthur slipped out into the rain, away from their hurtful words. Dolores had been taking a nap while her grumpy brood was poking fun at each other. Dealing with four disappointed and stir-crazy ducklings had made her tired and weary, so she'd lain her head down on the pillow, thinking she'd just rest her eyes for a few moments. She woke several hours later, having accidentally fallen asleep. As she stretched and flapped her wings to wake herself up, she wandered out into the rest of the house and saw the three yellow ducklings sitting and playing Monopoly. "Have you eaten dinner?" she asked. "And where is Arthur?" Jerome, Alfie, and Roberta looked at each other guiltily.
"Mom," said Jerome carefully, "we were all upset about the rain, and we kind of made fun of Arthur for looking like a rain cloud."
"We're really sorry," said Roberta. "It was my fault. I said it first. I didn't mean it, though."
"We love Arthur," said Alfie, looking like he might cry. "And we wanted to apologize, but he left."
"Grab your umbrellas," Dolores called out. "We're going to find your brother." The rain was finally beginning to subside as Arthur plodded further and further from his home, but the sky was still as cloudy and gray as ever.
"Just like me,"
thought Arthur dejectedly, remembering the things Jerome, Alfie, and Roberta had said to him that morning.
"What if I don't belong with them?" Arthur wondered. "What if there's another family out there that I belong with?"
Arthur wasn't sure that this was true. After all, he had always loved his family. But today, it didn't really feel like they loved him back. Arthur could feel tears welling up in his eyes as he thought again about how mean his brothers and sister had been. He thought about sitting down where he was and letting the tears fall, but then he stopped.
"Feeling sorry for myself is not the answer," Arthur thought. "If I need to find a new family, I should just go look for one."
And Arthur wiped the tears from his eyes and started off walking again with a new sense of purpose. Shortly thereafter, Arthur came across a part of Feathersburg Pond that he'd never seen before, and he decided to explore.
"No dumb siblings here, or Tildas or Tallies. Maybe I can find a new family."
And Arthur paddled out into the water, searching for new friends. He thought he was out of luck, but then he saw a glint of silver beneath the surface of the water. Upon closer inspection, Arthur realized he was swimming right on top of a school of fish. Arthur poked his head under the water and called out, "Hello!"
"Hello!"
A chorus of fishy voices answered back.
"Who are you?"
Arthur came up for air, then poked his head under again and answered,
I'm Arthur. I'm a duckling who needs a new family.
Cool!
Responded the many tiny silverfish.
Come swim with us!
So Arthur came up one more time for a giant gulp of air, then dove underwater to join his new fish family as they swam around the pond. At first it was fun. Arthur had to swim hard to keep up, but it was exhilarating to fly around the water like that. These fish were fast. They were all silver and gray, just like Arthur, and they were really nice to him. They were playing games for a little while, but Arthur kept having to take breaks to return to the surface and gulp for air, so he kept losing, and that was discouraging. Then the fish told him they needed to go home for dinner, and that he could come, but he would need to swim even deeper into the pond, and coming up for air would be harder. Arthur could feel his lungs burning. He wanted to go home with his new friends for dinner and maybe even live with them, but he knew he'd never be able to hold his breath for that long. He came up for air one last time before going under again to break the news to his favorite school of fish. "You guys," he said, "I don't think I can live underwater with you. I'm only a semi-aquatic animal. I don't have gills like you do. You're great and everything, but it's just not going to work. I hope we can still be friends."
"Oh, no,"
his fish family replied.
"We wish you could stay, but we understand,"
they said sadly.
"Please come visit all the time."
And Arthur promised that he would. As he swam his way to the surface and shook the pond water off his feathers, he sighed. He would have to keep searching for a new family. Meanwhile, Dolores and her other ducklings, Jerome, Alfie, and Roberta, were still out looking for Arthur. They looked high and low and far and wide, but they hadn't found him yet.
"Oh, I hope he's okay," said Alfie.
"Yeah," echoed Jerome.
"I miss him," said Roberta. "I'm sure he's fine," said Dolores, though she was truthfully a little worried. "We just need to keep looking." And on they went. Having decided that dry land might be a little more his speed, Arthur tried heading toward town. He was getting hungry, though, so on the way he stopped in a little garden and started eating some of the delicious vegetables he found there. He was eating a particularly juicy tomato when he heard a voice behind him say,
"Just what do you think you're doing?"
Arthur whipped around guiltily, and before him he saw a giant gray cat.
"That tomato you're eating belongs to my mistress," the cat said accusingly. "I'm not sure she'd be happy to see that you helped yourself to her garden."
"Oh," cried Arthur, "I'm so sorry. I was just so hungry, and I didn't think anyone would mind. Is your mistress around? Could I apologize?" The fat gray cat looked Arthur up and down before replying.
"My mistress is indoors."
The cat licked its lips.
"She may be willing to hear your apology. Follow me."
So Arthur followed. The fat gray cat led him through the rows of the vegetable garden and then through a great big field of what looked like wheat. Arthur couldn't tell where they were going, but he thought they must be headed toward a barn or a farmhouse or something. While they walked, Arthur told the cat all about his brothers and sister teasing him that morning, and also about looking for a new family. "What's your name?" asked Arthur.
"They call me Geraldine," said the cat without turning around.
Arthur got the feeling Geraldine did not like him much, which was too bad. Geraldine was very fluffy and silver, just like Arthur. Perhaps if he tried a little harder to be friends, Geraldine could be his new family. "I like your pretty silver fur," said Arthur timidly, hoping that Geraldine would appreciate his compliment. She turned around with a smile.
"Thank you," she said. "I like your fluffy silver feathers, too. They look delicious."
"Delicious?" thought Arthur. That's kind of a weird thing to say. But just as he was thinking this, he looked up and saw Geraldine crouched in front of him, a devilish grin on her face. "What are you doing?" he yelled. But he knew. Geraldine had brought him out to this field in the middle of nowhere because she was hungry. She reared back, and with a catty snarl, she pounced. "Ah!" Arthur yelled as he turned and waddled away as quickly as he could. He hurried and hurried and flapped his baby wings, his heart pounding. "Don't eat me!" Arthur stole a look over his shoulder and saw that Geraldine was still fast on his heels. He ran even faster, his webbed toes slapping audibly on the ground. He ran and ran, the wind making his eyes tear and his fluffy feathers ruffle.
He ran and ran and ran until he was gasping for breath and the muscles in his little legs were burning. He ran until he thought he couldn't run anymore, but he was too afraid to stop. He slowed slightly and peeked behind him again, expecting to see Geraldine leaping after him with her teeth bared and her claws outstretched, but there was nothing. He wasn't in the field any longer. He had run all the way back to Feathersburg Duck Pond. He sank down to the ground, filled his lungs with air, and let his heart slow to its normal rhythm. "I guess a cat who wants to eat me wouldn't be a very good family member anyway," he said with a sigh. Arthur lay at the bank of the pond, staring up at the darkening sky above. Night was falling, and Arthur could just make out the first star twinkling in the twilight. He closed his eyes and made a wish, the same wish he had been making all day. "Oh, I wish I could find a family who loved me." Just then, Arthur heard a rustling in the bushes behind him. "Arthur? Arthur, where are you?" The unmistakable voices of his mother, brothers, and sister rang out into the night air, and though Arthur was still a little upset about that morning, he realized that mostly he was glad to hear them. "I'm over here! You found me!" he called back, and soon his family emerged, and a chorus of happy words flowed from their smiling faces.
"We're so glad to see you," cried Alfie.
"We were worried you were gone forever, man," said Jerome.
"I'm so sorry for what I said," said Roberta, and Arthur immediately felt better. Dolores didn't say anything, but instead gathered up Arthur in her arms and gave him a very big hug. Then Jerome joined the hug, and Alfie, and then Roberta too, and then they were all hugging together, one big feathery family. "I met some cool fish today," said Arthur, "but they weren't really better than you. I had to hold my breath to swim with them, and a cat tried to eat me." Arthur told his family all about the adventures that he'd had that day as they walked home. That night, they all enjoyed a giant dinner of pizza and salad, and then they had ice cream for dessert. Then they played Scrabble together. Everything was back to normal, and everyone was happy. One day, a little while after that very exciting day when Arthur tried to find a new family, a new flock of birds moved into Feathersburg Duck Pond. They were tall and white, with elegant long necks and dark eyes that glistened in the sun. Everyone thought they were very beautiful, especially Dolores' children, who happened to be out on the pond while these exotic new birds moved in.
"Where do you think they came from?" wondered Roberta out loud. "I don't know," said Alfie, "but I want to be friends with them."
"Do they look familiar to anyone else?" asked Jerome. "I can't put my finger on it, but they look like someone I know."
Jerome, Alfie, Roberta, and Arthur had all gotten older, and they were starting to look different. Jerome, Alfie, and Roberta had started to grow sleek brown feathers in place of their old golden fluff. Jerome and Alfie had shiny green feathers on their heads, and Roberta was speckled prettily like a calico cat. Arthur, though, was starting to look less silver and more white. His neck had started to grow long and slender, and his eyes had gotten dark and sparkly.
"They look like me!" Arthur yelled excitedly.
His siblings looked in wonderment at Arthur before saying together,
"You're right!"
So they all headed over and introduced themselves. Their new neighbors, the swans, were very friendly, and they all agreed that Arthur looked strikingly like he could have belonged to their family. Arthur beamed with pride. Jerome, Alfie, Roberta, and Arthur invited the swans over for dinner that night. From that night on, the swans and the ducks remained close friends. Arthur couldn't have been happier. The end. This episode of Stories Podcast was produced by Jake Letizia and written and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. Please visit patreon.com/storiespodcast to pledge to support us as we bring you new stories every week. And don't forget to visit our partner site, goplaypretend.com, to find cool games and toys for the kids in your life. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.